interviews with artists before they go on stage at the world's most iconic venues. This is Backstage with Dan Diggs. Backstage with Dan Diggs.
Hey,
there he
hey,
is.
Hey, how's it going? Gotcha.
Looking good, man. You're in the studio.
Yeah, in the home studio record room. Yeah, where I record most of the stuff here. Yeah.
Amazing, man. That looks like a healthy selection of vinyl too.
Yeah. I worked at a secondhand record store for 4 years. And basically, I worked like Monday to Saturday every week. And basically, I took advantage for 4 years of my staff discount of just, you know.
Yeah.
Of just picking up stuff. Yeah.
Which record store was that?
It was called Butterbeats, which is, in Brisbane. It's still going. It had like two or three locations at one point, then down to one, then up to two. And I kind of worked between different stores over that 4 year period and mostly secondhand stuff. But yeah, I did buy new release stuff sometimes. And yeah, it was an interesting experience. I feel like I got the last kind of couple of years of like new release vinyl culture of like people coming in on Thursday and Friday to like get the stuff, which might be still around, but in a kind of different way maybe now. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I just kind of want to take this on a huge tangent and talk to you about vinyl for 3 hours, but
whatever tangent you want to take, I've got time, whatever you want to do, man.
Yeah, man. Well, first of all, thanks so much for being here on Dub Lab, and super excited to talk with you. Really excited for this album Regrowth coming out in September. Looking forward to that. But first of all, I got to ask, while we're on the whole vinyl conversation, what was the absolute best part of working in a record store? What was that highlight like? Because not everyone gets to do that, you know what I mean? And some people, it's a dream to do it.
Yeah, I think like reflecting on it, I've definitely realized it kind of has, in all seriousness, been like one of the best musical educations I've had. Of just coming up and like, I don't know, the first week I worked there, the boss kind of saying to me, he was just breaking down my roles there. It's like, you know, when people come in, talk to them, ask them what they did on the weekend, what they're doing on the weekend, talk about music and recommend something. And I was like, wow, that's kind of, you know, obviously there's a lot more stuff, but like that was kind of the broad role. And I just spend all day listening to records and coming up as like someone that was into, you know, hip hop initially and funk and soul. And, you know, when I was a teenager, I looked at genres like house as like, oh yeah, no, I'm not into that because it's like, I'm into hip hop and that kind of stuff. But then working in a record store, you know, like it was a small independent one. So it'd just be me behind the counter. So I'd, you know, looking through all the genres and kind of, you know, writing up stickers of recommendations and stuff and listening to a lot of different genres like house and other electronic genre, you know, music, and realizing like, oh my God, there's so much dope stuff in every genre. And just kind of, I think without that record store experience, it would have taken me a little bit longer to be exposed and learn, the parallels between genres and just finding the good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like it's almost like going to uni, like university for music. You know what I mean? Like you're just surrounded by it. That's awesome. Do you remember the first record you ever bought?
What was
and
it?
If it's embarrassing, that's even better.
Honestly, it is. It's kind of embarrassing, but and kind of weird today. But it was like I don't know if I bought it. It was actually a Bill Cosby record because I was looking for samples to scratch. He had some line. I remember he had some line about jock rash and not being able to like stop scratching. And as a teen, you know, teenager, I was really into, you know, scratching and that kind of stuff. So I thought that was like a cool thing to scratch kind of thing. I think, I don't know if I bought that or if I stole that off someone, but I think the first record I bought was like a Jackson 5 album because I had a friend that had this album on wax. I can't remember which album of theirs it was, but it had Body Language on it. And I just loved that tune. Mm. When I was going through his records, so I went out and found my own copy of that on wax. Yeah,
strong. Yeah, love it. Well, first of all, too, let's you know, give people a bit of an intro. I'm sure people know you from your records and from your Worldwide FM show, but for the people that have the tragic misfortune of just hearing about Sampology just now on this show, let's put them right. So, who is Sampology, and what is it that you do?
Yeah, I don't know. I do all kinds of stuff, really. The last 4 or 5 years, I've been like doing lots more like pointing microphones at things, recording sounds for like my own stuff and for bands. And I guess like for my own music, I feel like I live in the electronic space. But a lot of the music I make, and I guess that's a reflection of the records that resonate with me in my own collection. Yeah, sit in the electronic space, but a more kind of organic, natural sounding music. I feel like, the last 4 or 5 years through the last EP and leading into this album, I've been on like a bit of a natural environmental tip thematically with music from the last EP, Mount Glorious, which is a rainforest just outside of Brisbane where I'm at. And then before that, Natural Selections. And then, Regrowth, the album out in September. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sensing a theme there too. I was going to bring that up because it's like, man, nature's, really, really coming through in everything that you do. Like, what do you do to get out in nature? You that guy at the beach? Are you going into the mountains? What are you going, forest bathing? What's going on?
Maybe like under the canopy of like the southeast Queensland beautiful rainforests here. That's kind of my tip, but which I've been doing a lot more recently. But I feel like when I was working on Natural Selections in 2016, it might have been coming from a place more of like me in a room by myself, kind of cabin fever, wanting to like create an environment to escape into, because I was like indoors a lot. I feel like I've just continued to kind of follow that thread.
Yeah, well, now I'm sure the world's excited to hear it. I know I am. And I thought we could just get into some music. Let's play some tunes. I was really curious, as we're talking about making music and you're talking about your influences of just your environment and the rainforest, etc. I mean, is there a particular track that you heard in the beginning that really inspired you to actually start making music?
I feel like I would probably say it was so many things, but the one thing that comes to mind is going away in high school, at the end of high school, to this this place that me and my family would go to every summer, and over Christmas, and there'd be no phone reception, no TV for a week. It's out on this cattle property, but it's in amongst nature. And the avalanches since I left you had just come out. And wow. I spent the whole week just listening to that album. And I feel like a lot of people can relate to that kind of time, in high school where, your personality's forming, and just listening to that album for a whole week with no like phone reception or TV, it really like soaked in. And I think the fact that they were like, I was listening to a lot of like, native tongues, hip hop groups, or like dance music, Kenny Dope, that kind of style of stuff. But the fact that they were from Australia, I think made it a little bit more inspiring from, it's not like so separated of like America or UK, like people in Australia are doing this kind of thing. That was definitely a jumping off point of like me wanting to make music, I think.
Yeah, well, that's a fantastic record. And it's funny you say that, because it blew me away when I heard them talk about when they made Since I Left You, the track. And initially, I think it was Darren, but he was like really embarrassed by it. It was just like, this sounds like it's a shampoo commercial or something. And then everyone else was like, no, man, this is dope. Like, this is a tune. We got to open the album with this. And then lo and behold, they end up calling the album after that.
Yeah, so it's been really cool, like seeing the, because they're doing a 20-year anniversary kind of like tour of interviews and PR and that kind of stuff around the re-release of the album. And for so long I've been so interested in the minutiae of that, how the album was made, and there's been not that many details, but like hearing them talk in detail the last few months has been super fun to marinate in and absorb. Yeah,
I love too how I think they were inspired by like listening to like old Cypress Hill records, and they love that, like, sort of, when Cypress Hill have that sort of production where it's like you have that scream coming in, then they thought like
thing,
exactly. So then they were like, oh well, let's just do an Aussie twist on this and we'll just make a horse whinny instead. And it works.
Yeah, I don't know why, how, but like that does sound like the Aussie version of Cypress Hill, just using a horse instead.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, hey man, we got to play a track from the Avalanches then. Is there any particular one you want to throw on?
Maybe like something from Since I Left You, but from the re-release that just came out. I really like the Carl Craig Paperclip People remix of A Different Feeling. That one's 10 minutes. So yeah, maybe like a fade up, fade down type situation rather than the whole 10 minutes, but leave that up to you, I guess. Yeah.
Let's do it. It's Dan Diggs. I'm here on Dub Lab talking with Sampology. He's in Brisbane and the album Regrowth is out in September. Looking forward to that. I really like this this direction, man, of like the whole broken beat thing. That's so, it's one of my favorite genres of music. And it's something that when you hear it, you just need to hear more of it and it doesn't really let you go. So I wanted to chat with you about that a little bit. What do you have, like any, you know, favorite broken beat tracks or any different directions in that? Because I feel like I can hear that influence coming through.
I definitely have to say that, like, the fact that I'm, you know, living in Australia, I wouldn't ever like say that I'm like an expert on the genre or anything like that. I'm just like a fan of the feeling of broken beats. Some people call it Bruck kind of sound, which I guess came up in the early 2000s, maybe late 90s, London. But I don't know everything about the genre. Like, I'm just a fan of the rhythm. I guess, I mean, I don't know. Like, anything Digo, I guess, like, is amazing. It's funny, I did a all broken beat mix on a community radio that I'm doing a residency here for 4 weeks, and I did an all broken beat mix, and I opened with a track that isn't specifically in the genre, but I feel like it's a seminal broken beat track of like Soho Hot Music. You know, classic track, you know, like I guess it's like a house track, but the kick programming is just so broken and just amazing. So I opened with that track. So that's definitely the one that comes to mind as a favorite that's not specifically in the genre. I just remember actually recently being down in Melbourne, hanging with Alicia Joy and Finn, her partner who plays in 37E as well. And all three of us were just talking about being fans of the genre and the people that, you know, originated and continuing it based over in the UK. And the fact that there's a brightness to the sound that we all kind of felt like resonates with Australia a little bit. And the fact that it's so nice to go out and be in a club atmosphere and see people dance in a different way rather than just four to the floor, which is great. But just the broken beat thing, I feel like triggers different parts of your body, you know, different different genres and styles of music and different rhythms, like trigger different parts of your body to move in different ways. And I think the broken beat genre is great for that. And I would love to see more of that. It seems like there's a resurgence of that and of broken beat kind of styles in the UK and, you know, in pockets in Australia, which I'm really interested to see how they develop and continue.
For sure. Yeah. And I mean, that track though, Hot Music, is so strong. I remember when we had Benji B on the show and that was the track that made him want to get into DJing. Because it's just like, you can even hear it now. Like, I don't even have to hear, you know, some records, you just have them in your mind queued up and you don't have to even like remember, because it's just that riff and it's so, you just want to hear it again and again and again. So yeah, man, should we throw that on? Should we have a play of Hot Music? All right, definitely. Let's do it. It's Dan Diggs. I'm here with Sampology on Dub Lab. And let's talk about Suffer and Swim, because we got to play this one. What can you tell me about this track? I know you went into, you know, hanging out with Alicia Joy a little bit just now, but yeah, what's special about Suffer and Swim?
I guess it was completely, when I made the initial rhythm for it, it was completely different situation than how I usually make music, in that I made it specifically to DJ. It was the night before I flew down to Sydney to play a party called Midnight Swim in Sydney. And I only just realized recently the party was called Midnight Swim, and then the title of the track ended up being Suffer and Swim, serendipitously. But anyway, I made it to play it in the party, which I've never really done before. So I had that rhythm for a while. And when I was over in Berlin, I was hanging with a friend, Noah Slee, and he played me some demos that he'd been making with a amazing guitarist, Bo Diaco, who's worked with Jordan Rakai and a few other people. And I went across to Bristol like a couple of weeks later, and he was just outside of Bristol, but I didn't end up connecting with him. But he put some guitars on it, and then I took the track back to Australia and sent it to Alicia, and she sent back the vocals, and I honestly listened for about 20 times on repeat to what she'd done. I just loved it so much, and just finished it like. Added some extra things around what she'd written just to accentuate the story she was telling and that kind of thing. And I'm so happy to have collaborated with her. I've wanted to do it for a while, and I really like this one for that. Yeah.
How you doing? We're hanging out with Samplology on Dub Lab, and I'm excited for this album's come out September. It's the other side of summer, really, or I guess the other side of winter down in Australia, but. You know, still definitely highly anticipated. And I've got to ask you too, any other remixes coming up? Because one of my favorite remixes of yours was when you remixed Quantix Orchidia, I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, it's got the little imlet.
The little line. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what throws you off. That was a strong remix, man. And I know that you're in album mode right now, getting this out the door, but I'm curious, can the world expect any more Samplology remixes?
There is actually. I think it's due for August, but it might come after that, but it's been finished for a bit. It's for a Sudanese artist called Gordon Coang, who's based in Melbourne, who's released a few albums on Music in Exile. There's a track I've remixed of his that I'm really into. I spent a bit of time on that one. So that's one to look out for. Another one that came out last year was for an artist called Tiana Kasi, a remix of her track Whole Lot of Shine that I did. I actually spent a lot of time on that one. I don't know. It's cool putting lots of effort into stuff to make it special. Tiana Kasi, she's an artist who I produced her debut EP on Soul Has No Tempo as well. So it was cool. Reimagining a track that I'd already recorded and produced and mixed and that kind of stuff in a completely different way for my own record bag. But I love working on remixes. It's great just to, like, I feel like my own EPs and, you know, album is something to play out but marinate in headphones as well and create an atmosphere, whereas when I'm working on remixes, it's about creating something for my own record bag to share with friend DJs, you know, that kind of thing. It comes from that spirit.
Yeah, it's often the best way, right? I was going to ask you too, because one of my favorite tracks of yours as well, and actually the track that switched me onto your sound, was your collaboration with Seven Davis Jr., Blooming in the Streets, 2018. How did that come about?
I'd just been such a huge fan of his. And I just reached out to him and said how much I love his music and recent release. I think it was the Choir Boy release, which was all like a lot of sample flips he put up on Bandcamp. I just got his email and said how much I love that project and just kind of put it out there. Just, I was totally not confident about it. I was like, hey man, just feel free to say no. Like, totally just say no if you don't want to, by the way, to say no, you don't have to. I was totally, yeah. But he's like a sketch I did. Would you want to sing over it? And he was totally into it and did it. Which that was a cool creative experience, because he sent back the vocals and I changed some stuff up a little bit and sent it back to him. And he's like, no, the original was great. It was raw, the clicks. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I went back and listened. But he was super like straight up. But like the best feedback. So super appreciate him jumping on that and being able to connect with him. And fan of all of his stuff from the early
the one with one on it.
There was one even before that that he'd like done of early tracks. It was more hip-hop kind of stuff that was re-released.
But
one's a jam. So many jams from him.
Well, awesome, man. I'm really excited for the album. Regrowth is out September 3rd, I believe. And thanks so much for taking the time, Sam. I really appreciate it. Before we let you go, though, I always ask this to people. Usually I love seeing shows and I'll go and interview people backstage. And since, it's been kind of tough in the last year or so to get backstage. But if this was normal times, which, and good times are coming, where would we be? Where is your ideal place to play? And where would we be backstage? If you could play anywhere, it doesn't have to be, maybe it might be in Brisbane, maybe it might be anywhere in the world, but where would that be?
Oh, that's a good question. If it was in Brisbane, we'd be backstage at the Tivoli Theatre in the Valley, which is my favourite venue in all of Australia.
What's that like?
It's beautiful. It's got like a mezzanine level. It fits like maybe 1,500, 2,000 people, just the right amount of size. The lighting, the sound is beautiful. And it's just, there's so many memories of things that I've seen there. So many bands. I supported Avalanches there once. I saw De La Soul. Yeah, I saw De La Soul do their 25th anniversary of 3 Feet High and Rising with a massive live band. Lots of stuff there.
Crazy.
Yeah. And it was due for demolition about 5 years ago, but a passionate developer came in and like saved it, even though he didn't need to, and it probably didn't make him a whole lot of money. He came in and bought it and kind of let it keep being a venue. So I would invite everyone backstage to hang at Tivoli Theatre and watch a special show.
Yeah, that sounds ideal. Well, that's on my list now. Next time I'm
next time you're in Australia.
I gotta do it. All right, man, well thank you so much for being a part of it. This has been awesome.
Really appreciate the support and interest, and if people want to check out the vinyl packaging, they can, Bandcamp of course is the best place to do that. I actually just released there's going to be some orange vinyl limited to Bandcamp, so sampology.bandcamp.com if they want to check out the music and some of the artwork.
That's where they gotta go. Awesome, man. All right, dude. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk soon.
Awesome. You too. Peace.